All right, we are back. Build 2013, Channel 9 Live. We're going to close out the day with a very special guest, Chris Anderson.
Howdy.
How are you doing, man?
I am doing awesome.
Great to see you. And I will say that Tim Heuer is going to wind his way here and join us. We're going to have a conversation about XAML. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And HTML5 and building UI and whatever you guys want to talk about as it relates to Windows 8.1 and developing apps from that point of view. Chris, what have you been up to? I haven't talked to you in years.
It has been a while. So I've worked on a couple of random projects, a little here, a little there. For Windows 8, I actually worked on the JavaScript libraries. I did WinJS,
okay.
Worked on that. And then for 8.1, I've been working on the XAML, WinJS, and actually our accessibility story, too.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
It's been fun.
Now, we had a question earlier about that, specifically XAML and accessibility. What have been some of the improvements in that area in 8.1? So I told you we'd remember your question.
We'll get to it. So in 8.1, one of the big improvements we did was we added support for all the read-only text elements to support the text pattern, which means it can be read back as a document,
okay.
Which actually helps with screen reader scenarios quite a bit. We fixed a bunch of bugs in the space in terms of there's some interesting tricks with the combo box and stuff. The bigger set of improvements that I actually am really excited about is on the narrator side. So we've done a tremendous amount of investment in Narrator on the performance. We have about a 100x improvement in the startup of Narrator.
Wow.
It's instantaneous.
100x.
It was it went from, you'd hit the Alt Enter to or Windows Enter to taking, 1 or 2 seconds to now it is effectively instantaneous.
Wow.
And then the read back on it, we now do editing, we have better support for Far East languages, we do homophones, so you get things like, the red as in the color.
Nice.
For Far East languages, we do editing in email documents. It's really exciting space.
That's awesome.
I'm doing a bunch of investment there. It's a big growth area for us.
Cool. Now, I guess I was going to wait for our man Tim, but
he's
I want to ask you this. Exactly. Speaking of performance.
Yeah, speaking of performance, Tim's not here.
Tim's not here, so I'm going to ask you, what are some of the advancements you've made in XAML and 8.1, specifically around performance, virtualization, et cetera, et cetera?
Ton of things there. So one of the things that we've done is for List View, which is probably the number one control that people think of when they think of the new Metro UI or whatever we call it now. Sorry, I hate to use old terms.
No problem.
We went and rewrote the majority of the List View panels, actually, to make them have a new technique for virtualization. So the jittery scroll bar that you used to see in XAML apps is gone now.
Nice.
We now do correct calculation of that. We created a new API that's an optimized API for rendering the content of your List View as you go. So if you want to write stuff that is kind of to the metal, creating elements and not going through binding, not going through templates, there's now a purely coded solution which can lead to really, really good performance, including kind of phased rendering where you can say, look, as you scroll, I want to show a little placeholder, and then I want to fill in something, and then I'm going to fill in something more as I have time. And so we have API for that. And then if you choose to use binding and templates, we've done a tremendous amount of work in that space where binding is somewhere between, depending on the scenario, 10 to 50% faster for data binding scenarios. We have a new way of propagating the data context, which avoids some of the big expensive walks we used to do, so you can use binding in more places.
Awesome.
The net result is that we see, huge performance wins of the runtime panning performance. We've also done a bunch of work on startup performance, another thing that people really talk about. And there we've invested in everything from weird things, like we changed the STL toolkit that we used so that we could save memory on the internal map structure so we can shave off working set, which helps performance, all the way up to bigger things like the template item for List Views. We actually have created a new version of that is much more of a pre-rendered kind of thing so that we don't page in as many elements. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten a lot of performance improvements out of that as well. So we spent probably 50% of the XAML team on performance work for the 8.1.
Thank you. Having been involved with the Nook Reader project, I thank you. Because actually you mentioned there's a lot of, if you build an app where you want it to be immersive, rich, and beautiful, and you pan fast, and it's going and grabbing data, and then it has to render what it grabs in the form of images, this will help.
Absolutely.
Won't help the HTTP stuff, but Larry Osterman's stuff will.
Absolutely, yes. I love his stuff.
Larry, man. Hey, great, awesome. Great to have you here. These are what matters. These are the questions that are important. Real Boy 360, what was the XAML rendering PDF? Did I hear that right?
Yes. Yes, PDF reader is rendered using, it's actually, it's interesting because the way the PDF reader is set up is it uses hardware accelerated DirectX drawing, and then it's hosted inside of a XAML app. And so what you end up with is kind of this, what we see is a really common pattern of XAML Chrome with a DX drawing in the middle, and so it's actually all hardware accelerated.
Awesome. Shall we leave this one for Tim, or do you want to answer the render target bitmap be available in 8.0 apps?
Dude, that's easy. No, render target bitmap is part of the 8.1 API set, so it'll only be available there. We've actually done some pretty big architectural changes to the way XAML renders in 8.1, okay. Which gives us a lot better overall system performance and better graphics utilization, and the render target bitmap was part of that work.
Okay.
And so you'll notice we talked about the WebView improvements in that allow us to fully composite WebView,
yep.
And that's also part of that re-architecture. And so there's a bunch of stuff that had to happen to be able to do full cross, what we call cross-framework compositing, where we can composite Trident, DX, and XAML all together.
That is really, really awesome.
So, unfortunately, sorry about that.
Hey, but here's some. This brings up an interesting question related to that.
Mm-hmm.
If I have an app that I compile for 8.0, runs on 8.0, it's going to run on 8.1. Now, this app is a XAML app, let's say.
Yes.
I will get some performance out of the box
absolutely.
Without calling these APIs.
Absolutely, absolutely. We see. So first off, we believe strongly in app compat.
Sure.
And so we invest actually pretty heavily in testing apps as well as fixing the bugs that we find in there. And so we're really trying hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're balancing that with a real desire to move the platform forward. So what we've invested in is a set of technology where we kind of flip on and off features for 8.1 and preserve the 8.0 behavior.
Okay.
And so like the new panels we talked about
sure.
in 8.1 are present in List View, but they're not there for 8.0 apps, so they get a compatible behavior. What we will see is when you migrate, when you take that 8.0 app and you recompile it for 8.1, you'll get all those new features, which may introduce some work that you may have to do to adopt those changes in your app.
Sure.
So we will see some of that. But getting to your question about performance, we've definitely done a bunch of investments in the platform which will impact the performance of 8.0 apps, and you will see improvements. So that re-architecture of the rendering pipeline, that we did not keep fully side-by-side or anything, so you get a bunch of those benefits.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Meta would like to know, app bar button is a great addition, but can it be used outside the app bar? Can it be customized to always exclude the label?
For that API, I will have to wait for Tim.
Cool.
I don't have that off the top of my head.
Right on. So Tim will be here. He's probably wandering his way here.
I see him getting...
We need to virtualize Tim.
Yeah.
We need to virtualize him.
Yeah, we definitely need to work on his performance.
Right on, man. So one of the things I noticed in the 8.0 timeframe... was C++ underneath XAML number one, which is great, so thanks for that.
A lot of
C++ developers appreciate that.
Yeah.
The question I have is, did you improve performance in data binding specifically? Because there were some...
So there's two things. One big source of performance problems in data binding was that the template that mm-hmm. shipped as part of VS in the 8.0 timeframe mm-hmm. had a anti-pattern for the C++ binding scenario.
Yeah.
And so one thing we've done is we've cleaned up that template, and we've removed some of that code that was a bad pattern to follow. Now, the general model is that we've fixed a bunch of stuff around data context propagation and the binding engine, which should help with that. I think we've done some improvements there. We fixed the way we do boxing, so we've had mm-hmm. some improvements in the performance of data types that get passed through the system, and so we've definitely had some.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. And look who's here.
Hey!
Hey.
Thanks for joining us.
I was an async callback. Took a little bit longer to
come
return.
Come on, dude.
Sorry about that.
Right on. So right off the bat, we got a question for you, big guy. App bar button is a great addition, but can it be used outside the app bar?
Yes, it can be used to be used outside of the app bar, and it can be customized to exclude the label. Yes.
Thank you, man. So
great.
Tim's here, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. In the box that you're watching, you see us here. Underneath, you can simply type in a question and press send, and we will then answer it. Please ask about XAML and performance and UI and WinJS and blah, blah, blah. Any plans for memory profiler for Win8 apps?
Well, there is a memory profiler for HTML apps, I believe, in VS in the box. We don't have one that I think is there for XAML right now.
No.
So we have some for part of it. We're working on that. The other thing is that the WPA tools, like if you're hardcore about your memory and what you want to do and the low level performance of the system, I really recommend the WPA, the Windows Performance Analyzer,
Okay. Which
that gets at the low levels of the system. It's what we use to profile the operating system ourselves. So that gives you a lot of visibility into the app. It's a pure expert tool, though. It is like, if you're working on the Nook Reader, if you're working on a top tier app,
yeah. It's
a thing to go dig into. But
totally. It
gives you a lot of visibility into the system.
And that whole team is actually here at Build and has four sessions that are lined up specifically around WPA and the recorder and the Windows Performance Toolkit and how to understand it, how to use it. And we've actually built for both UI platforms and in HTML and XAML. We've built pre-configured what we call them profiles.
Okay.
So you spin up the tool and you say, "Yeah, I'm a XAML app, so use this profile," and it will collect the necessary. It will collect and report the necessary information that we've worked with that team to say these are the important areas for XAML to show, and it'll do that for you. And HTML. There's an HTML. There's two checkboxes: HTML profile and XAML.
Excellent. All right. So Dimitri wants to know: is multi-binding supported in WinRT XAML 8.1? Multi-binding.
No.
We improve. Easy answer.
Yes. Easy answer. It's okay.
We spend most of our time improving normal binding first, before we add
which
more.
We have been talking.
We've been talking about the perf work we've been doing a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, you just gave a talk called "What's New in XAML." How did it go?
I think it went well.
Okay.
No one threw anything at you.
Nobody threw anything at you.
No. No boos. No hisses.
There was claps. I said the team was back in Redmond was watching, so clap for your favorite features.
Right on. Now, before we get to the next question, I just wanted to say your talk was quite interesting in the sense that the way that you kind of positioned it as the cost of developing UI.
Yes.
And I think it is actually an interesting topic because as a developer, you have to make a conscious choice. Do I use HTML5 for the UI, meaning CSS and HTML with JavaScript?
Yep.
Do I use XAML with C# or C++ underneath? Or do I go really old school and do everything in DirectX?
Yep.
So what's the answer?
Yes.
Clearly the answer is Lisp and GDI. They're making
GDI.
A comeback.
But you can't do GDI.
No, I think the big thing that in the talk that I spent a lot of time on was really around how do you frame the conversation around how to choose this, right? People have a question of what do they want to go invest in, and they often start with the kind of the end. Mm. They start with the, hey, what should I choose? And instead, you need to look at, you know, what team do you have? What skills does that team have? What assets do you have existing? Do you have a bunch of, you know, code lying around? Do you have a bunch of images? Do you have 3D files in a specific format? What's your operations cost going to be? How are you going to service this? What kind of developers can you get to manage it? How are you going to monetize it? Like, it might be weird to think about why the monetization comes in when you're trying to pick a technology.
Yes.
But the choices you make of that technology can bleed out of that. So, for example, there's some ad SDKs that only work for a specific language. They only have offerings in a specific place. It's so like you're like, oh, well, if I want to use that, I need to go use C# because the ad SDK is only available in C# or something like that. But also the monetization gets into the balance between how you're going to generate revenue versus your operations, and that has impact on your technology choices. And then finally, the kind of the devices you want to support.
Sure.
So like, are you going to, you know, how many views do you need to create? Do you need to have a separation between the model and the view? Do you need to have, are you going to support multiple platforms or even multiple operating systems? You know, if you're going to end up in going across iOS and Android and as well as Windows, then maybe you want to invest in something that has a larger percent of your code can be shared. So you're going to go with ANSI C or something, or maybe you're going to go with JavaScript because you think you can get it everywhere.
Okay.
And then you get to the final question of, oh, let's go pick a technology. And so part of it is that kind of the framing of it's about app architecture more than it is a detailed question about, oh, is the XAML text box 5% faster than the HTML text box, which is kind of what people want to have the debate. They want to have a little duke them out.
Yeah, they do.
Red-blue state sort of thing. It's like, that's not actually the right model for how to think about it.
Fair enough.
It was a great session. I mean, and I think Chris provided some concrete examples of where, you know, the down to the metal is the best choice in certain scenarios, and like with some concrete examples, I think it was a great session.
Well, awesome.
We have this question up here, which is are we going to have chart controls?
That was one thing you talked about.
One of the things we talked about, which is that.
And that's from Johnny. Thank you, man.
You know, so to answer the question, no, we don't have charting controls built in.
Okay.
In 8.1. But the thing we talked about was that when you look at like a really complex chart with a ton of data points, like 1,000, 10,000 data points, and you want to animate those, like you probably don't want an individual UI element for every one of those 10,000 data points trying to do animation. It's a yes. place where it really makes sense to drop down to DX and to do low-level rendering. So that was kind of the context of yeah. the
awesome.
Conversation.
Especially so, in those areas, you want to make sure that you're in an area where you can do independent animation away from the UI bit.
Absolutely.
So now, since you know, it looks like we're going to have a lot of XAML questions today, can we debug bindings now in Visual Studio by setting breakpoints in XAML, Tim?
We can't. That feature, so that's referring to a Silverlight 5 feature that was delivered that was an excellent feature. It's really cool, but it was completely dependent upon code injection and reflection emit, which is not a WinRT concept.
You know,
when you do code injection in process, it kind of looks like a virus. So
did you just say Silverlight? Wait a minute. What's
I don't know,
going
somebody
on?
Somebody.
Is XNA next? Yeah. All right. So,
Silverlight. Well aware people.
Wait.
Silverlight is an awesome way to build Windows Phone apps.
Yes.
We love Silverlight.
Of course we do,
dude.
So, but this is what I think it's an important conversation to have.
Yes.
Because the fact of the matter is, it's XAML.
Yes.
But it's not the same XAML, and it's not the same underneath. So. In some sense, if I'm a XAML developer,
yes.
and it's, everything I do is in Silverlight, when I come to the new world of Windows XAML, there's certain things that are no longer there and don't work the same. Which, you know, unfortunately, a lot of developers, for some reason, that really upsets them. I can understand it. But my joke was really about this notion that because Silverlight has, as you said, runs our phone, mm-hmm. that's what you build your apps in on the phone, but not on Windows, all of a sudden the .NET is dead and that you really need to go to HTML5 because that's the new way. So what I'm trying to do here is play around with hysteria that it's kind of fun to play around with neuroses.
It is. We love
neuroses, man.
Yeah, neuroses are good and they're good to feed. It's often fun to do.
Yes.
But I mean, we have a massive investment in the CLR, and in fact the work we're doing there is spectacular and
totally.
Interesting thing is, one of the things I did in my talk was I did performance analysis of low-level algorithmic, complex algorithms and how it fares with C++, the CX with extensions, and CLR.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is that there's a pretty sizable jump between C++ with naked pointers and everything else against CX, which has ref-counted pointers and things like that.
Exactly.
And then when you drop to CLR, it's actually slightly faster than CX.
It is?
CLR is fast. It is fast. And when you get into tight loop algorithms, like it is fast. Now you have to write good, careful code. Mm-hmm. That's true of any library. And so it's great.
Interesting. Well, that's going to make for a really interesting argument. So how does theme resource markup extensions work, Tim? Otherwise, thank you. Simply thank you for all the updates in 8.1. It's basically nirvana of what WinRT devs need. So how does theme resource markup extensions work?
Yeah, theme resources are...
Philip, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Philip. Philip, he's one of our illustrious XAML devs. He's got a great toolkit out there as well.
Awesome, man.
The way that theme resources work is that the best way I describe it is if you're familiar with the concept of dynamic resource from WPF, it's pretty much a very narrow-scoped dynamic resource, where instead of how static resource looks up as like a one-time lookup through the dictionary and resolves, we kind of maintain a reference to whatever theme dictionary that may have started to resolve, and then should the theme dictionary change, we re-resolve those aspects. So the simplest way is it's a dynamic resource that we maintain kind of an internal state of and apply as needed.
Awesome. Yeah. James wants to know, can you guys provide easy-to-use themes other than just light and dark for those who are graphically challenged? Is he talking about Visual Studio themes?
No, I think he's talking about, what we've done in the UI platforms is,
yes.
Windows Design has, we have said as Windows that we have a specific design language around, how we think the simplicity of apps are and things like that. And so we've provided a set of controls that have a base UI definition, much like other UI frameworks always have in WinForms and everything like that. I think what he's asking for is like, can we provide some more assets around those? Instead of just the black rectangular button, can you mean I'm not a designer? Can you give me a style that allows me to, have a different personality?
I want green. I want Netflix red. I want blue. Give me blueberry all the time.
Blueberry
everywhere.
Yeah, blueberry is the color we call the defaults. But
yeah,
I think we have a. In CSS and in XAML, we have a very flexible styling mechanism. With flexity sometimes comes verbosity. But we as Windows aren't currently providing any kind of asset library around styles or anything like that. Okay. I think that's an area where you'll see third-party controls fill some gaps.
What's the web one is a theme roller.
There's
a web theme one that does that. It's a toolkit on the web that's just for generating CSS for some of the UI frameworks. And they
excellent.
Do that.
Yeah. All right, well, we got a lot of questions. Thank you for asking them. Keep them coming. We're going to get to you again, Philip, but let's ask someone. Some of this person hasn't asked one yet. And we sort of kind of talked about it. Let's revisit it.
We talked a little
provide
bit.
Provide some more details for the rendering and compositing work.
Well, in terms of compositing, it's definitely one of the largest changes we made in XAML in 8.1. And really what we've done here is, the feature we wanted to show was the web view improvements. Like, let's just be, super simple on it. Yeah. We wanted web view airspace problems to be solved once and for all. And that meant that we needed to have a way of compositing content from different frameworks together into one tree that could be visualized. And it turns out there's a platform service called Direct Composition, which is part of the operating system that you can plug into. And what we've done is we rewrote a large chunk of the XAML rendering engine to work better with the direct composition and have a more integrated approach. So instead of just creating single bitmaps effectively and sending it to the composition engine, we do what's called primitive composition. We send effectively drawing instructions to the engine, and that lets us do layered composition where we can put the web view and then some drawings and another web view and then some drawings, then a DX, which also gave us a swap chain panel.
Nice.
So in 8.0, swap chain background panel was the only option if you wanted to host DX content in a low latency kind of way.
Okay.
And what we've been able to do with this work is to get a swap chain panel, which lets us you put DX content anywhere in your tree hierarchy.
Awesome. And you could put a web view on top of that, right?
Absolutely. And then spin the whole thing.
I was
going to
say, the subtlety of what he mentioned there was the web view, but that's how we achieved the removing the issue of airspace with
cool.
The web.
Yeah. So hey, Jesse, can you hug these guys for adding UI control rendering to a writable bitmap? Can I fist pump you?
There we go.
I'm pretty sure that's Jesse back in our team.
Is he?
I think that is, yeah.
Jesse who?
Jesse Bishop.
Man, come on, Jesse. No, right on.
If it's not,
it could be Jesse Liberty.
It could be.
Yes, who am I to assume? Yes.
So Rilo Kurti wants to know, I wonder if grid view now bubbles mouse wheel scroll to its parent. A scroll viewer in this case. Great job, guys.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, there are some instances. I know exactly what he's talking about. When you have like a list view within a grid view, and we call it scroll chaining. There are some areas I think we still need to improve upon in that area. I'm not sure we've landed that completely.
So we now have a question that has XAML and something else.
Whoa.
Woo! Andre wants to know, which improvements have been made to work with MVVM architecture, WinJS or XAML? How about in WinJS?
So WinJS are investments. We made a bunch of performance improvements around binding and templates, which is kind of needed to infrastructure to get MVVM going. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we have a better repeater control, which allows you to do kind of more granular work, which can, again, facilitate separating those things out. In general, on the WinJS side, our model has been to allow developers to use whatever MVVM framework they want to use as opposed to baking one into the platform. So if you love Knockout, go use Knockout. Like, the value proposition of Dub2Bay is that you can use existing web assets directly in your app. Mm-hmm. And where there's a community around it, we're not trying to invest in that. There's a great community that loves a bunch of these libraries. You should just use them. We love that.
Right on.
jQuery, Knockout, Backbone, XJS, whatever you want, more the better.
Beautiful. In XAML.
In XAML, when you think about the MVVM concept in XAML, primarily it's founded upon the separation of view concerns and a view model as its relation to the view, leveraging binding.
Okay.
So we already have that plumbing infrastructure in there, and it still exists, and we already talked about that we've made improvements in there, and as Chris has already mentioned, and it was kind of a key point in his talk, was every feature has a cost, binding has a cost. MVVM encourages the use of binding in commands and a lot of other places, so you need to be conscious about that trade-off you're making from productivity to user experience.
Okay.
Now, in addition to that, I would say from an MVVM perspective, what we did in this release in the platform is we've exposed something called dependency object collection, which enables people to build behaviors on top of it. We will not deliver, at least in this release, we're not delivering any behaviors out of the box. Mm-hmm. Something historically Blend has delivered and that they will be delivering as well.
Excellent. So is the reader service, the PDF reader service, exposed as an API?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great.
To all UI frameworks.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. You can use it in XAML.
Render
or
a PDF in JavaScript.
Nice.
In HTML,
man.
Sorry.
Excellent. Thanks for the question, Snekathon. Sorry if I messed up your name, Matt. Where XBF, XAML binary format, where are XBF resources stored? I haven't heard BAML in ages.
BAML. I love BAML, baby.
BAML, dude.
BAML, that's going to the well.
So what's going on here?
They're stored in the package, just like BAML was done. The WinMD just contains the metadata used by the compilers to give you IntelliSense, things like that, and binding. So the resources are actually just in the APEX. If you crack open, APEX files are just OPC, if you remember. They're zip files plus XML.
Okay.
So if you ever want to know what it looks like, just rename your .apex to a .zip, open it up, and you can see where everything is.
Okay.
All the generated code.
Anywhere where you would have seen .xaml, you now see .xpf.
Yeah.
Excellent, man. How do you plug into the direct composition? So you mentioned direct composition.
Windows.ui.directcomposition, I think, is the namespace. It's a public API. It was public in Windows 8.
Right on.
MSDN documentation.
Right on.
And
there
Silvana
you go,
has a session all about it here at Build as well.
Oh. Who does?
Silvana Macayo.
Excellent,
man.
So Chris Anderson.
Yes. Which MVVM or MVC framework do I recommend?
Yes.
Personally?
Yep.
And which one do I use?
And then there's one for Tim next. Okay.
I don't use any of them.
What?
I don't.
You don't use Knockout?
Don't use Knockout. When I want data binding, at the moment I use WinJS binding. Okay. I generally at the moment, I'm just saying what I'm using today.
Fair enough.
Like next app I build, I may do something else. But my current project I'm working on is I'm playing around with a game in my spare time. And for that, I've been focused a lot on the lowest latency. And
sure.
So I've been removing as much code as I possibly can from all the layers. And so I've been like actually avoiding data binding all up. And I've been avoiding like a lot of this stuff and trying to get down to the thinnest thing. Because basically, I want to run on a Surface RT at 60 frames a second.
Yes.
And that turns out to be challenging when you want to have, you know, 1,000 creeps all attacking my base and all that
stuff.
And so I'm that's kind of where I'm right now.
So let's keep on this for a second before we get to the specific question around, which I think I already know the answer, but let's do that because it's going to be an easy answer. So Tim, is there a way to run .NET 4.5.1 in Windows XP for desktop apps?
I have to be honest and say, I actually don't know the answer to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's... That would be better asked for...
You should have asked Soma this morning, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but fair enough.
I'm sure it's... I would be really surprised if it's not in the README for 4.5.1 release, which was also released today.
Great.
I just don't want to incorrectly...
So now you have a way to find the answer.
Yeah.
Thank you,
yeah.
Tim. Are there changes for the XAML navigation caching? Only caching for backnav, not for new instances?
We did not make any changes to the caching infrastructure for navigation. The one thing we made in that area was to be able to control the journaling aspect, so you can inject new navigation points that may not be natural.
Cool. All right, so we're going to keep on going. Lots of questions. By the way, that was from, I don't have your name anymore. Adam's asking, is the new radial time picker control available in the XAML toolbox?
Oh, from the alarm app is what his question is specifically.
Okay. Yeah.
So that is an example of where I talked about, you know, you should extend the platform where you need to your unique personality. The alarm clock had chose that is a unique personality trait they want for alarms, is to have this dial view to be able to set that. That is not an inbox control that we've delivered. It is actually a styled slider. So perfectly, and that's exactly what they did. They created a custom control around a styled slider.
Nice.
Not something that we're delivering out of the box.
How do I lay out XAML elements when the user can choose the size of my app in Snap View? Is there something like auto layout?
Yeah, there's tons of stuff. So all of XAML is based on the WPF and then the Silverlight stuff. So we have grid, we have wrap panel, we have a ton of different panels to do layout. It's very easy to express, and in fact, it was interesting in the fact that the Windows 8 not resizing was kind of weird. Like it was for the XAML perspective, it's like, oh, I guess you could hard code a size, but I mean, in general, it's all flow layout. And
it should
it's
be
super easy.
The,
yeah,
the beauty of XAML from day one.
Use grid. Yeah. You're good. Use
right
grid.
On, man.
Star. Yeah. One star.
Thanks for that question, Bob. Cyprian's asking, why can't I turn vSync off in XAML apps?
Because it would look bad.
Okay.
I mean, it would tear.
Well, what
right?
is vSync, man?
vSync is
vertical
is
sync?
Synchronizing the update of the UI with vertical. Well, sorry.
With vertical
I'm
scroll.
Interpreting. No. vSync. Oh, no. I'm interpreting this to mean it is the act of synchronizing your UI display, the present of your swap chain to the UI with the vblank signal of the display.
Okay.
And so the common practice is that for some games, they'll turn off vSync because that delays your update to only happen at the refresh rate of the monitor. Mm-hmm. So if you have a 60 hertz monitor or a 50 hertz monitor, you only refresh at maximum that speed, okay. which means you can't do 120 hertz and have half your frame rendered in one thing and half your frame rendered in the other.
Okay.
It introduces tearing, but it can increase frame rate. And for XAML, for UI framework, we just don't think that looks good. Like, but I've not had anyone ask for that.
Yeah, but if you were doing DX interop, like
if you do DX interop,
since
you can
control
do it, yourself.
It
yeah,
then
yeah,
you can
absolutely.
Dial that area.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
there are times when
swap chain, if you're doing your own game, you can figure it out.
Rock and roll, man.
Yeah.
I think the C++ question I can leave for C++ developers, or would you like to? I mean, I don't know that you're going
to
know the answer.
No.
Okay.
No.
Hey, Vishal, thanks for asking. We will have Going Native Live on Friday, and we can geek out with that question then. All right. Can the new navigation stack now deserialize more complex types? That's from Emmanuel.
Yeah, there's no changes in that area, so that you as the app developer are responsible for either providing serialized formats or doing the work yourself.
Robert wants to know, was there any improvements in terms of binding and expressions? You must be coming late.
Yeah.
But let's rehash
again. Other than the performance changes,
well,
we added
access to the binding expression things like update source trigger and those things. And so that may be what he's referring to there. So you can get access to that information now and do things like explicit update, which is the most common area where people do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and on top of that, the binding markup extension we've improved. We've seen improvements of up to 40% performance improvements on things.
Up to 40%. These are great numbers, by the way. You have been throwing things out like 100x for one thing, not bindings. But all right,
narrator.
And then you said 10x. Said 10x. We took a zero off.
Yeah.
Sebastian, are there any improvements for managing shared resource dictionaries? Optimization to not load them every time when they're merged.
Did resource dictionary deferral, and so we defer loading the content of a resource dictionary at startup. It's one of the ways we got a big startup gain.
Excellent.
And so we only load them as you access them.
Love these questions. Really good questions. Clearly, XAML developers in the house. Do you integrate a OneNote-like radio? We already talked about that.
No, this is a
different
one.
Control, right. Same
so
answer.
Explain
same
it.
Answer. Yeah.
Same answer, different control. Same answer, different control.
Yeah.
Love it. Is there a min-width snap mode now? Thanks for date pickers. That's from JB.
Yes.
Date pickers, my favorite control.
I said, never before has three combo boxes received so much applause.
Right on, man.
The answer to the first question, there is, so the min width by default, if you were a greenfield opportunity, you said file new project, mm-hmm. your new min width is 500 pixels.
Ah.
If you're migrating an app, actually, I believe the migration still sets the min width at 500 pixels. So now it becomes an opt-in to go any lower than that. And you really have a choice, either 500 pixels or 320. And once you choose 320, it's not discrete from 500 to 320.
Okay.
It's actually 320 all the way up.
We got to start wrapping up. We have time for one more question? Okay, we have time for one more question. Are there any improvements in virtualization? We already talked about that. Which one do you want, gentlemen? Let's do...
Does the news...
What about debugging XAML UI? That was an early question we discussed, didn't we? So Alex, you win. Does new VS 2013 XAML resources, bindings, and IntelliSense require design time project execution?
There's two aspects of that. For the framework styles, there's already design time knowledge of that in the tool, so you'll get IntelliSense for those. For your custom styles, I believe there's some background build that will happen in order for those to get to it. For the binding IntelliSense, you have to provide kind of some context-aware designer information, so the D:\ type stuff. Mm-hmm. And once you provide that, it's effectively D:\ data type equal foo, and so you tell the designer, hey, it's this type, and then you can get the IntelliSense.
Awesome.
So if you're an editor guy, you'll have to type that in. If you're a designer guy and you're doing some of the binding syntax, that will automatically get injected for you.
Awesome. Hey, we've run out of time, unfortunately. Thank you so much for coming on Channel 9.
Great.
Great to see you again. Thank you, man.
You're welcome. Rock and
roll.
Awesome.
Clearly, there's a lot of excitement for the great work you guys have done. So,
thanks.
Cheers.
Fun. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for the great questions.